Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking. It is what it is.
What up, family? We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Ryan.
Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. And Abba Ghani. This is Mufasa Ra.
Yes, indeed, and we are Collective Minds Radio, family. We are back in the building. At Collective Minds, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. We here, family. Thank everyone for joining us. Hope everybody had a good week. You know, we are back, hopefully, to share some constructive conversation with the family, get the family thinking, and to share our collective thoughts. So, we appreciate the family for joining us. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. You feel me? But, yeah, we hear y'all, as we always do. Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. No announcements other than to announce that I had a great week. Hope everybody's week was great as well. Productive. That's it. Drop the mic.
Yes, indeed. And our brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, I had a good week as well. My only announcement is up with Jesus and down with Santa.
It's that time of the year. You want to elaborate on that, brother? Break that down for us, bro.
Yeah. You know, people who celebrate Christmas, supposedly, you know, supposedly about the birth of Jesus. And I don't see people being Christ-like and really celebrating the so-called birth of Jesus. They're just out here trying to get gifts and commercialize everything. Just give, buy stuff, and give. So I'm saying down with Santa Claus, and let's take it back to Jesus. Everybody be thankful for the Jesus figure and what Jesus stood for. Up with Jesus and down with Santa.
It is what it is.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If you're gonna reflect upon Jesus, I'm saying to the people who are supposedly reflecting on the life of Jesus, do that. Make it be about Jesus, not about Santa.
Yes, indeed. And you got me thinking about a post from our brother David Banner put up a post last week, and he was talking about, you know, parents lying to their kids about Santa. And, you know, I just happened to go through the comments, and there was a lot of sisters was upset with David Banner about that. You know, some they were saying, like, you stealing the kids' joy, and can't the kids just have fun, and, you know, you stealing the magic of Santa. And I feel David Banner, like, come on, fam, you ain't got a lot of your kids about no doggone Santa. I don't get that part, especially when you work, you know, all year to provide that stuff for your kids, and you go give the credit to some fat white man. Stop it. Like, don't even do that. You know what I'm saying? So But a lot of people was upset. Like, it take away from the kids' imagination. I'm like, how? That ain't got nothing to do with imagination. Like, that's somebody else's imagination they putting in your kids and got you following along and thinking that's some type of magic or, you know, you're not letting the kids be kids. You can still, you know, give your kids gifts and celebrate and be with the fam, but you ain't got a lot of them about no Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was just my thing. But yeah, that made me think about that post. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all want to. Well, no. Let me say this. It seems like it's been every week, right? So apparently, another rapper has died violently from being stabbed. It's a young man named Draco the Ruler, out of L.A. 28-year-old. It was a festival, I believe, last night in L.A. called a Once Upon a Time in L.A. Music Festival. And this young brother was stabbed to death. You know, and they, again, it seemed like it's been every week. You know, rappers been getting killed. And I was trying to do some research on the brother. He don't have too many radio hits, but he does have a strong following on, you know, like YouTube. And his music gets a lot of streams, let's say. But I couldn't really find no radio hits. But, you know, apparently he's known, you know, to the young people who follow that music, and he has a large following and whatnot. I believe the brother might have been gang-affiliated, too. You know, I think with, like, a Crip set, a Crip neighborhood or whatnot.
Get out of here.
But
no way. No way. No way.
No way what?
I can't believe that he could be gang-affiliated.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, man. It's like these brothers, you know, you do all this to make music, make money, and you would think you would want to leave that stuff alone. I mean, we done said it time and time again, but yet the violence still seems to creep up on these brothers, man. And it's sad. And like I say, as a hip-hop fan from the older generation, you know, I seen two of my favorite rappers get gunned down. It's just sad, man. And I'm sick of it. I'm like, how long? Like, it just seems like every year a rapper's going to get killed. So I guess that's just the new norm and just prepare for it. But, I'm kind of sick of it, man. Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it. But I just want to put that out there. Rest in peace to that dude. Like, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know too much about him, but whatever it was, I doubt if it was worth a stab at death, you feel me? But I digress. I don't know if y'all want to chime in.
I was going to say, have they found out who killed Young Dolph yet?
I thought they did.
I'm not sure. It's been a lot going on. I do know they had his memorial service, or one of them that they televised on YouTube this past week.
I watched that.
You know, they gave him a nice homecoming.
I'll say this about Young Dolph real quick. I'm a C. Murder fan. C. Murder was one of my favorite rappers. And in that memorial, I saw C. Murder. They did a video of C. Murder from prison. And C. Murder gave a touching memorial tribute to him himself. And he vouched for the type of person that Young Dolph was. And then Monica came out and also read, C. Murder of all us, you know.
That ain't something that C. Murder do
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to do that, I mean, it just doubles down on the type of guy Young Dolph was. He had wrote a letter, and Monica brought the letter out and read it. And the one little part of it which was interesting to me is Young Dolph had said that I reached out to Monica and said that, hey, I heard the only way for me to get to see Murder is through you. And she was like, mm-hmm. I want to meet him because he's one of my favorite rappers. And he went through the steps to go visit him. And see Murder said when he visited him, he saw that, you know, through their conversation that he was a real person. He said he would call him and check on him once every week or two, you know, and even would, drop some jewels on his daughter. So that was cool.
Nice.
For Young Dolph to do that and for C Murder to vouch for him. Because, like I say, C Murder, you know, this is just a rapper who was in jail for life, serving life for a murder that he said he didn't do. But he's a solid individual. And that shocked me that he did that. So, oh, and one other thing when it comes to Young Dolph, I meant to send y'all a video. People may have seen it where it was a challenge that he had, where this little local drummer had did a rendition of one of his songs, and the guy won the contest. And the way Young Dolph treated that young man when he came to see him was amazing. You can see how, like I say, how he's a genuine guy. The funniest part to me in the little video when the little young dude pulled up, and you know, he mesmerized to meet Dolph, and Dolph just kept saying, "Oh, what we doing, man? What we gonna do? What we doing?" And he laughing with him. But eventually he's like, "Come on, man, come on, let me show you my car." He put him in the car, let him see his car, then he put him in another car. And they talked for a minute. Then all of a sudden, Dolph just pulled out a sack of money. And he said, "Hey, man, I go 30 racks for you." And the kid was like, "What? Did you see this, Brother Kev? Did you see it?"
I think so. Now, yeah. I did see where he gave the two workers at the coffee shop $25,000 a piece.
Okay.
When they got fired for playing his music. Did you see that one?
Nah. So he gave this kid 30 racks, right? And it cracked. Mm-hmm. This is the funniest part for me. This is just for me. Everybody else might not trip off this. But it was just funny to me how he pulled out 30 racks in this expensive-ass luxury automobile. And he pulled out 30 racks and gave them to the kid. He's like, "This for you." And then what did Young Dolph do? Start eating on a bag of salt and vinegar potato chips. Rap snack. That was just funny. If you sitting in this luxury car, you can pass this kid 30 racks, and you eating on a bag of salt and vinegar rap snacks. You be doing anything with your money, but you eating on a bag of rap snacks. I mean, dude just was a down to earth dude, man. And I hate that.
Unfortunately, he
had to meet his demise with violence. So it ties in with what you're saying, man. I mean, all this stuff with these rappers and violence, they be tied to the streets, unfortunately, and we know what happened in the streets.
Yeah,
a lot of violence.
Yeah, R.I.P. Dolph. Dolph was a real one. Like I say, some workers at a coffee shop was playing his music in the background, and they got fired for it. And Dolph heard about it, brought them on stage, and gave them $25,000 a piece. You know what I'm saying? So little stuff like that, you know, Dolph was a real one, highly respected by other rappers, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, R.I.P. to Dolph. And, yeah, man, we just got to, you know, I don't say this a lot, but, yeah, we got to do better with this, fam. We can't keep losing, you know, talented young people who are actually trying to help and inspire the community. Like, we need to be shooting at our real eyes. For real, like, come on, fam. What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? We got bigger fish to fry.
What was one of his radio hits?
Who, Dolph?
Yeah.
He had "Is Major." That's Major. That was a cut. And then he was on the song with OT Genesis that Cut it. You remember that song? You know what I'm talking about? You need to cut it. Yeah.
Now, because I don't know this, I can't really say too much about the content of his material, but that plays a role. You know, it's great. He sounded like he was a generous person, you know, which is good. It's good to be giving, you know. But if you really want to truly help, though, it has to reflect on everything, you know. So I don't know what his content in his music was. Is his music reflecting him trying to help the youth? Like, he's doing encouraging lyrics, you know, or will the youth hear his material and his song and want to go cooking in the kitchen? You
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm gonna let you finish, but I want to throw this in with you. You can build on this too. It's sad that he able to give back so much with the type of money he's making because of the type of music that he makes. That's even sadder to me that he can make a come up. He had to make ratchet trap type music, and that's what allowed him the income to give back.
Okay, so let me build on that, because we don't want to teach our children either that it's all about the money. We got to have standards, you know. So if he's going to make money by telling them to go cook it up in the kitchen, then it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not really enthused about that. You know, because if you really want to make a tremendous impact, then you give them, you don't give them the fish. You teach them how to fish. You know, because I hear what you're saying, but that's not quality. Okay, I'm gonna cook this up, and what I make, I'm gonna just bring back. That's not quality to me. I mean, it's a method that worked apparently if you just focus on the money, but what about the quality? What about what we want our youth to become? The quality of what we're giving them, the essence of the mentality of that's what we're giving them. You know, forget the money. You want them to think differently. You know, money is there. Money is there. You can get that, but you want them to have a different mentality. So I was just curious. It just made me think about that to hear you guys compliment the gestures, and all I hear is, yes, he sounds like he's a very generous man, and that's it's good to be giving. That is a great quality to have. But on the other side, what is he outside of just material things, which we all know is nothing? As parents, all of us are parents, and I'm sure we try to teach our kids to not be so caught up on material items and money. You know, I'm sure we as parents, we would like our kids to not be so easily bought out and sold that you just gonna lower your standards just to get money. I know I as a parent would like my kids to not be so easily bought out just because they can get a rack or two and on some dumb stuff. I want them to have quality, and I want them to have standards about what they do and integrity. So, I mean, I would like to see that these rappers, yes, although it's good, I guess you have a giving spirit that's whoop-de-doo, but try to give these kids some better quality of a mental state. You know what I'm saying? That's I think, because if you really want change, that's where it got to be at. If you genuinely want change, that's where it got to be.
Right. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And for me, you know, maybe I'm an older person, but listening to Young Dolph music, I never got the sense of, you know, going in the kitchen. You know, it's kind of like Ross music. They talk about a lot. They talk about, you know, a lot of money, a lot of motivation, being dedicated to some. Sticking to the script, don't compromise yourself. They talk about integrity. You know, so those are some of the things that I hear. Even though they mix, you know, some of the drug talk in it, they may mix some of that or having a good time or, you know, talk about the women and whatnot. But I think overall, you know, as an adult, I can say, I'm not sure how young kids receive the music, but as an adult, I can say it's not all negative, put it like that, you know. But I totally agree with what you're saying. We definitely want to have some standards and whatnot. And I think Dolph music, even though on one hand he did have to stay to the streets, is like Mufasa said, that's what made the money. That's what got him to where he is. But I think it was also another method of, you know, positivity, sticking to your dreams, sticking to, you know, what you're trying to do on one hand as well. Yeah, teach you how to grind.
How to grind, stay home.
Get up. So hustling can be anything, you know.
Like I said, that's what I'm worried. Yeah, because think about it. 25, okay, he gave somebody $30,000. That's cool. But we all know people with mentalities, certain, I mean, $30,000, that's a great thing. But if you don't have the right mentality, that $30,000 is gone the same day. You ain't done
right,
nothing
right.
with
now look,
it.
That's right.
Nothing, you know.
And speaking
so,
of that, yeah, that's true. But speaking of that, he did an interview on with on Million Dollars Worth of Game with Wally and Gillo the Kid just recently, actually a few months before he passed. Young Dolph did an interview, and he was saying he was going to give 100 people $10,000. So on that same note, I say all that to say he was saying that he wanted to give the people the money who just who have ideas, who have the drive, who have business acumen, but they don't have the necessary funds. You know what I'm saying? He was like, I want to give it to somebody, get a 10 grand to somebody, and they come back like, boom, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I was able to invest that 10 grand to do this. Now I got this. You know what I'm saying? So he actually did mention that. He was like, I don't just wanted to give it to people freely who just going to do whatever. He's like, I would rather them, you know, putting it in the business, start something, do something where it's going to turn over. So he was on that type of mindset. And a lot of that stuff, you know, people got to peep behind the scenes that the brother was doing.
That's good.
I definitely get it. I definitely get it. And
right,
cause
I don't know.
Like,
so I'm from a point, I don't know, but I don't know specifically about him. That's why I asked about his music. But what I do know is that there are a lot of, you know, foolish messages in these raps, you know. So the material is trash, and a lot of them. But I didn't know about him. That's why I asked, you know. But, you know, we all know the material is trash.
Yeah,
the language and the content is trash.
Yeah, a lot of it is. I'm
saying that's
about,
what I'm saying.
I'm
it's unfortunate that that's what get the bag. That's what I was trying to say, too. But I'm just adding that in. It's unfortunate is that that's what get the bag.
Right. And I'm going to say this about, like, drug dealer rap, right? When it comes to like drug dealer rap, I don't necessarily have a problem with it as long as you can tell both sides. Because the thing with, because I don't look necessarily as drug dealers being a bad thing. I think because drugs is a supply and demand business, it's not like the drug dealer, the person who's on drugs called a drug dealer for the drugs. It's not like they forcing anybody to do drugs. It's a supply and demand business. It's a means to an end. Like, I'm not no moral police. If you can use that money to parlay into something legitimate and get out of the business, I feel like that's the way to go. But we're never going to get rid of, unfortunately, people using drugs. We have to stop the condition that makes a person want to do drugs. But as long as these conditions are here and people are without, people are hurting, they're going to use drugs. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't look at it from a moral standpoint. I look at it as a business to a certain degree. You have to have, you know, business skills to run that type of organization. But the key is to get the money and get out of that type of lifestyle because we know the damage that it can do. You know, if you don't have codes and you don't have, you know, guidelines to go by, it can destroy your community. But if you have certain codes, you can use it like these other communities, the Italian community, the Asian community. They all use their underworld funds to start legitimate businesses so their kids don't have to do that stuff. You see what I'm saying? Unfortunately, in our community, it seems like the young kids are the ones, they're the OGs now. The kids are the ones running these street organizations, and the codes are all messed up, and that's when you get the chaos. You see what I'm saying? But you have rappers like, you know, Jay-Z who talked about the drugs, Rick Ross. You know, there's a lot of people who gave you both sides but also told you about business, told you about their family. You know, just opened up and gave you the whole 360 degrees of what entails with that life. You know what I'm saying? So You know, that's just my take on you know, Dope Dilla rap. Now, the other stuff, I ain't going to get into, but I just wanted to put that out.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question.
Let me add one more thing while we on. Oh, go ahead. I wanted to add another entertainment thing, and I would always feel right to go ahead.
Okay, so, Kevin, I guess, Foster, if you like, you can answer this too. But based off of just listening to how you responded to that, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, say mm-hmm. you're in the streets, you know, you're trying to do your thing so you can get out, you know, and
right.
you're in the community, and
mm-hmm.
you got a 21-year-old that's addicted to your surf. And you don't just keep continuing to service this person because they calling you. I mean, like, how do you think one should handle that? How would you handle that if you see this young lady might maybe have two babies, can't keep a roof over her head, but she managed to keep calling you? You see when she come get her stuff, you know, she ain't looking good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you long
right.
keep servicing a
she
situation.
Haven't. She haven't. To have an old sex with a mouth.
Coming home from school.
Coming
you
home from school,
you
right.
You don't keep service to someone like that because she's the one calling you?
Well, I'm going to put it like this, because for me personally, no, I wouldn't. But I can say I can understand a person doing that. You got to look at backgrounds, people's family structure, how they was raised. Some people didn't have a mama, or they mama might have been on drugs too. Like, it's a lot of different situations. But for me personally, you know, I can never get into that life for some of those reasons that you just mentioned. So, no, I wouldn't. But I do understand that drugs are a business. You have some dope fiends that are functional. You have some teens that are on drugs. They go to work every day. They just get high. And then you have some where it's destructive to them. So, you know, it just depends. But, no, I personally would not, no, I wouldn't feel comfortable with a situation like
that
because
I
wouldn't think about
the mentioned morals. Because you mentioned morals. And, you know, some people have a conscience, you know. And
right.
And some people don't. So when you thinking in terms of, well, hey, you know, it just is what it is. They calling me, you know. And when you operating from that type of mentality, I think your conscious and your moral standpoint, because I think your moral and your consciousness go hand in hand, you know. Some can argue the differences between the two, but they still go hand in hand. There's a pairing there. And...
Right, but I was just gonna say. So you can look at it like this: if I don't sell them the drugs, they gonna get it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So what about that? I mean, it's not like just because one person
what
stops selling drugs, the
so,
drugs.
What about that? Is because I'm still responding to your aspect of the moral standpoint. So what about that is if you just said you don't think you can do that because it's just the way that you are, you know. So
right, but
what
I'm
about
saying,
that
I'm
is
not
that
using. Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I still think that's a conscious type of a moral mentality. So yeah, you know, for the people that don't, that's not really operating from their consciousness, moral standards, then yeah, that's how they will think, or they wouldn't be persuaded, or they'll be persuaded by that thought to not do it, or you know what I'm saying. So I still think morally and consciousness is still in the background of anybody's decision that's doing that, because at some point, if you seeing people that you serving left and right, some coming back to people, and they you know that they life's off, they got kids on it, and you still willing to do this and give them things and sell it to them, you or your mind is operating like, hey, from a low conscious level, low moral level.
Right, but look, but check this out. check this out, because this is the world we live in. I'm saying I'm not morally judging those people who do that, because check this out. You have casinos open 24 hours in every city. People have families. They go to the boat. They spend their rent money. They spend their child's kid money. They gamble their food money, grocery money. Like, and that's just open for people to walk in. They don't drag you in there. They don't, you know, pull you in there. The type of world we live in, people resort to these type of addictions. And what I'm saying is, if they're in that situation, they're going to participate, whether it's destructive or not, until they're ready to get help. That's just the way it is.
Let me tell you this.
You see what I'm saying?
But the casino operation do have some type of ethics code where if they know that there's a person that continue to come to their boat losing stuff, they ban them off the boat. They do that. You can get banned off the
boat. But then they go to another boat. But
then they go
to
another
boat.
Right.
Perhaps. But my point is that they still have an ethical code where they won't just continue to just allow someone to do that. They ain't supposed to. Anyway.
No, they will. You got to ban yourself from the boat. People ban themselves. The boat don't typically ban you. You can go and blow your whole mortgage,
will do that.
Rent.
Now they may not. Now I don't know the process and the procedure, but they do that. They will do that.
So what about? Okay, now look. So we can look at alcohol, which is legal. People go to bars and drink up every weekend, every night. You know, they go to the liquor store, the liquor's there.
And,
they can just buy the liquor and go home.
At a bar, and they drink, and the bartenders and the owners do have an obligation to refuse to continue to serve a sloppy drunk person.
Right. What about the person that just buys the liquor at the store and go home, and then he gets to beat his wife and destruct it to his family?
That's good.
See,
I mean,
so the point I'm making is, what I'm saying, the point I'm making is, right. So, but the point I'm making overall is, as a society, if we don't combat these issues before it even gets to that point, people are going to resort to these destructive behaviors. So, as a business person, which liquor companies are, liquor stores, casinos, drug dealers. These are businesses that unfortunately supply people with, if they want to go that route, they supply them with the means to do it. So that's why I'm saying from a moral standpoint, you can look at it and be like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that because these people. But then I'm taking the morals out of it. It's a business. People are making money. You know, these people are going through whatever they're going through. They choose to do drugs, gamble, drink, whatever. And it just is what it is, unfortunately. And when those people are ready to get help, they'll get help. You know, hopefully they'll get help in a lot of cases. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear, you know what I'm saying, and so to speak. So when they're ready to get help, they will get help. But we're not going to stop these, you know, people from doing that until we educate at a young age and teach people, you know, how to use self-discipline.
Thank you. You just made my point.
Areas.
We did all that for you to come back to my own point. Because
right.
That's
so
the whole
thing.
Right,
it's not on the drug dealer. It's not on the drug dealer or the casino. It's on the people. It's not
you
on the liquor store.
You just made my
stores.
Point. What, the drug
right.
dealers, casinos, they are the people. They are the people. So the community have an obligation to put into the community a quality information, quality things, ethics, codes that will eventually, like you're saying, stop people will not do these things on their own because we are reprogrammed,
right.
We're retrained. So the obligation is on the casinos, the drug dealers, the teachers, the mamas, the daughters, the cousins. It's on the community. It's on the people that's in the community because what's in the community is what the people is putting in the community.
Right.
Okay.
Well, look y'all.
Yeah, I agree.
Y'all been battling on this. Y'all been battling. Now maybe the callers can call in and you know, get their opinion. But before you do that, I did want to add one thing, because this commentary we got going is a good one. So I definitely want to let the callers chime in on that too. But let me share something with y'all, because this man's name came up twice in this conversation, and I just want to share this with y'all so you can check it out. Your Rick Ross name came up twice. Did y'all see how Rick Ross did the 85 South comedy show a day ago?
I heard about
no,
it.
No, I
didn't.
I didn't see that, right?
What happened? No, I didn't see it. What happened?
So they had, so you know the 85 South show with, Carlos Miller, DC Young, Fly, and Chico Bean.
Right, right.
They invited Rick Ross to the show. They got the bottles of rosé out there. They got Wingstop. They eating chicken. Rick Ross there, they having a nice conversation. I mean, everything was going good. About 35 minutes in, Rose go, all right, y'all, I'm going to go to the bathroom and take this coat off because I'm taking my coat off. I guess he's getting a little warm. They're like, all right. So he get up, go to the bathroom. They doing their thing, acting crazy. Time go by, Rose never come back. Finally, somebody walks back and like, Rose gone. Rose gone. And, you know, they was live. He just straight walked off, didn't say bad nothing. Just, I'm going to the bathroom and never came back. I don't know if Roger, you got any answers. I still ain't heard why he did them like that. And you know how crazy DC Young Fly is. He was holding but you could tell he wanted to say something. He's like, dang. He's like, he just left us like that, didn't say bad nothing. And they was trying to not go in. But you know they wanted to. So if Rick Ross don't give him a good explanation, be ready, because, you know, especially DC Young Fly, he probably ain't going to be able to hold his mouth.
Right, right.
That was wrong.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. Hilarious. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yep.
Dang. No, I ain't hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a day ago. You can go to the 85 South Comedy Show on YouTube and check it out. And they had to
I heard about
for another
– they were saying – that's
on
Wild and Out with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just had to get creative on the fly and did the rest of the show for, you know, hour and a half without Rosé. I was like, dang, that wasn't right.
Maybe you got
just wanted to share that with y'all.
Well, everybody
yes,
can't use
indeed,
everybody's family. Bathroom. I have to go home to use the bathroom.
Right. That's true.
You know, some people like to take all their
family.
Off.
Right, right. So look, family, if you just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are in the building. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number's 929-477-1697. And you can talk about whatever you want, but me and Roger was having an interesting conversation about you know, drugs in the community or just any vices that can be destructive to the community. And, you know, how do you look at that? Or, you know, are the drug dealers to blame or the casinos to blame or the liquor stores? We have all these things we have access to, strip clubs even. Like, it's all type of things that people could just freely walk in, and nobody forces you to go into these things or do these things. It's up to you. You know what I'm saying? It's up to the individual. So my standpoint is all of these things are businesses. So I don't think the drug dealers should be necessarily demonized, because we don't demonize the casino owners. We don't demonize Hennessy and Budweiser beer, all these places. So I'm looking at it like,
so who's the
if
blame?
You can use – yeah, who's the blame, you know?
Who's the blame? The supplier? The supplier or the consumer? Let us
or
know
consumer.
Who's to blame. The supplier or the consumer?
Like Brother Kevin said, I will agree with him on this. We don't have to say a blame or blame, because each person individually play a role. Each person individually has a choice. But what I'm saying is, if we don't put in quality things into the community, the outcome is going to be just as low grade. You're not going to, right. A person is not going to think on a high level if they're not getting that, if they're not seeing that, if it's not being put into the community. That's why people make bad choices, because that's something that's what's within them. So you have to make sure, if you really care about the community and the children and the future, then it has to start there. You have to be able to be willing to give the kids better way, a better way of thinking, a nice quality mentality, so that way they can make better choices. So it's
right,
not about
right,
a
right.
So is it safe to say
not about
putting
a
the brunt of it on the supplier, though?
I'm putting it the in.
But ain't you putting the brunt on the supplier?
Each individual play a role, you know. So that's just how I feel. I don't want to have to do a blame, like Brother Kev said. Each, at the end of the day, each individual play a role, you know. So everybody has to be able to be a stand-up person about what they have done, whether it's good or bad. You know, if you're making a bad choice and all that, everybody just has to be a stand-up person, you know, because individually own role. So if you want your kid to make good quality choices and good decisions, then you have to give them the means to be able to do that. Give them the means, give them the resources, show them how to make good choices. Don't put them in compromising positions where they have to think of a bad way of doing something. So that's just one example. And just on a bigger scale, just what we give out, and we've already had conversations, what we put into the community is going to affect the people that is getting to. Everybody gonna receive it differently, but some people may hear a Rick Ross song, Cooking It Up, and just perceive it different. You know, so you just
and that's why. That's why I just be like, you know, everything ain't for everybody. So, because you got some people that just don't drink alcohol, no matter how many liquor stores it is, they just like, I just don't mess with it. You know what I'm saying? You got some people that don't smoke cigarettes. You know, it's just a lot of things that everything ain't for everybody, but those that do, these choices are out here for these people. You know what I'm saying? It's out here. And so the community has to make the decision, like, what drives a person to become an alcoholic? What drives a person to become addicted to cocaine? You know, those are the things we got to get in front of. But we already in a society, I think we too far gone at this point to where it's like we going to stop people from doing these things. No, they're going to do it. If they don't get it from A drug dealer, they'll get it from B drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case is. So that'd be my thing. Like, I understand the destructiveness of it, but a lot of drugs are just as destructive as alcohol, and this stuff is legal. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just don't like the way, you know, the quote-unquote drug dealers demonized, because there are some drug dealers who have used those funds to keep their kids out the game, pay their kids way through college, do like community, and try to atone. If, you know, that's a rare case. If you can't survive jail or getting shot, you know what I'm saying? If you can't survive those two things, you know what I'm saying? Some people have made that turnaround where they like, look, I got a legit business, this, take care of my family, make sure the kids straight, whoop-de-whoop. But I was once in the game, and now I'm trying to do right, because some people feel like that's the only way out. That's the only way to reach a certain level in America. If you know, from the inner city, you got to, like Biggie said, you got a wicked jump shot, or you rap, or you sell crack. You know what I'm saying? You sell drugs. And that's an unfortunate reality that we have to deal with, and we just got to, you know, teach better codes and ethics so the community don't fall victim to falling into the trap of drugs and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, that's just my take. And y'all know me. I'm on the side of, I think all drugs should be legal. I think they should be legal because I think that will cut down on the criminality of it, because, as we know, drugs are destructive, but if crack was made legal today, I doubt any one of us on this phone goes start smoking crack just because it's legal. No, that's not our thing. We're not going to do that. So I think...
Well, somebody might sell it. It's not the same.
No, I'm saying, yeah, people will sell, but I'm saying I think this drug should be legal to eliminate the penalty of selling drugs. You know, it's just like alcohol and all these other type of things that they make millions off of. Because we come from a generation where we've seen weed be illegal for so long. Remember, weed was illegal. You get pulled over, you get locked up for an ounce of weed. They hit you with a little misdemeanor or whatever, whatever, Class C, whatever. Now, we moved it to a point where weed is legal. They got dispensaries. They got medical cards. You can go here. You go there. You can damn near smoking in public. Nobody's tripping. Like, so we come to that point, and the people that don't smoke weed, they just don't smoke it. It's not because it was illegal. Illegal people, that they just don't rock with it. So now that it's legal, they, you know, they still might not be rocking with it for the most part, because it just may not be their thing. So that's what I'm saying, to eliminate the criminality. And we know the war on drugs was a war on the black communities, as the Nixon administration said, and all these, the Reagan administration, the war on drugs was literally a war on black communities. We're going to criminalize these people, you know, come up with these new designer drugs, crack and all this other stuff. We're going to criminalize these people. Put them in situations with low opportunities and lock up as many black men as possible, black people even. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how the lens I'm kind of looking at it through. I know the war on drugs was a deliberate attack on the black community that was successful, you know, through the Reagan administration, the Clinton administration, crime bills, you know, all this other type of stuff. That literally destroyed the black community. Crack destroyed it too, but the repercussions and the fallout from crack with the incarceration and all this other stuff, that devastated the black community, and we still seeing the results of that, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I'm off my rant. You know, we want to get to the call lines or whatnot. Yeah, dig. You see a collective minds. We in the building.
Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, how you guys doing today?
Oh, young man.
Well,
well,
how
you
doing,
brother?
You too, Queen. Miss Roger, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Hey, look.
Wow,
Kevin,
indeed.
How are you going to compare drugs and casinos? Casinos are legal.
And
on,
weed
man.
Used to be illegal. Now it's legal. So what's your point? Slavery used to be legal, too.
It used to be illegal. Ain't no, there you
legal.
Go with that weed stuff. Ain't no weed. You mean you and maybe somebody else.
Slavery
that
was
weed.
Legal, too, mind you. Remember when slavery was legal? You remember that?
Yeah, it was in Africa. Still is.
Exactly. So legal.
You know,
legal
them Africans taught the world slavery.
Right. You know, legal and illegal
but,
is arbitrary. It's up to the people.
Well, absolutely. You know, you talk about what makes a community bad. I think that was your question. But one of the
mm-hmm.
major things, bad schools.
True.
If you got bad schools, no one's going to want to move in that community. Well, especially if they're raising, children. I wouldn't want my child going to no bad school. Then, of course, you know, it creates a bad school, then the neighborhood is that way, too. But I'm not going to stay on. I won't last of the year. I'm going to let somebody else get on and express their will. I appreciate the time I have
yes.
to share.
Yes, indeed.
Look, Roger, don't have
yes,
a
sir.
Table in front of the chimney. Come down that chimney and be tripping all over the place. First,
right.
You break their neck like that. I spill the eggnog.
I'm make sure I move
yes,
out
indeed.
The way.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a
All right. Appreciate
Thank you.
You
too.
Have a good
week. I'll put
right
some
on.
Pillows down there. Okay. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Alliance Radio. Do you have a question or comment? Sorry. Fine.
Well, you talking about the rapper. If you've really been paying attention, there's been like 2-3 rappers dying every day.
Right, yeah,
because,
every week, for real.
Because they be shooting and stabbing each other because over dissing each other and over basically, you diss me, I'm going to shoot you. Instead of going back
right.
on track and dissing them and going back and forth like the old school rappers did, Now the new rappers, the young ones that are raised by all these women, are so soft that oh, you hurt my feelings, I'm shooting you down. So, like when I'm around some of my buddies, they get drunk. They like to drink. And they'll try to start dissing, and I start hitting them below the belt. And then they quit that mess. I straight put them on, but as far as like alcohol and drugs, I'm pro marijuana.
Right, right.
I've seen alcohol do more damage.
Right.
I've seen alcohol do more damage
than
marijuana.
Yeah, alcohol
oh,
right.
definitely. You smoke a blunt, you ain't going out to act the damn fool. You ain't
right.
you gonna sit back there. You gonna go make you a sandwich and turn on your video game,
or whatever you do.
These people,
right.
they get out there, they get that full of that liquor, and they just whatever.
Right.
So,
but see, here go the trick caller. Alcohol is legal.
And
alcohol
I'm gonna
is
say,
legal.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, on the other topic, the consumer is to blame. Because if the consumers
right.
will stop buying and buying into this mess, that mess.
Right, you put them out of business.
It would stop. So, but rap really isn't made for grown folks. People our age, rap isn't really for us. It's for them. So, I don't even listen to rap. One, my best friend, he don't even listen. We do not listen to it at all because it's garbage. So, but now them little rappers probably gonna hear me and want to come shoot me now. So I told them that music's garbage.
All right, Kyle, appreciate you.
Yep.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes, indeed, appreciate it. But look, here go the trick. Alcohol is legal. So that's where everybody like, hey, the alcohol not that bad. But no, it's very damaging on a lot of levels, but, you know.
On the side note, why is prostitution illegal? But
right,
the porn industry is illegal. It's legal.
It's legal, right. I mean, I'm with you on that too, because I feel like if two consenting adults, one wants to pay for sex, one wants to sell sex, I feel like they should be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they should be able to do that. I don't
yeah.
see. I never understood that myself. Now. Now, when you get into this other stuff with sex trafficking and minors and all that stuff, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
that should be off the table.
Right,
yeah,
that's
different.
Different.
But if we talking about two adults, I don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And you see anything? Where,
yeah,
what you say, Roger?
Huh?
The only female on here. What you say?
I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, why prostitution?
right.
So why?
But should it be illegal?
Well, yeah, but why is that? Why is that illegal? And but porn
it's
is not. Porn
illegal.
Is legal.
It's very disgusting. No, okay, I'll give you a serious answer. I mean, I agree. You know, they want to capitalize off of it, so they make porn legal, so they, you know, get money off of it. Prostitution, they can't have a handle on it, so it's illegal. They don't want you to do it because they can't get a handle on it. So that's what it is.
Except in certain counties in Nevada is legal. Prostitution is legal in a few counties in Nevada, which, you know, is interesting, but, you know.
Okay.
Whatever, but yeah, man.
Let's try to get into the callers. Area code 864-340. Call, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yo, yo, peace and power. This is Equanee. I just called to, you know, step into the discussion that you guys have.
Thank you, Carl.
Yes,
appreciate it.
Peace, family.
Peace, brother. No, I heard you guys, you know, basically, I guess just speaking about the temperature of us, but, you know, here recently with the discussion that you guys having about, you know, this heightened sexual environment that we have, it's something that we know whom is promoting it, and I feel like it has a lot to do with, you know, rather than creating or having an environment of control, right? Now, I guess with the looseness in sexuality, this is an environment that kind of more or less creates uncontrol, right? Or the lack of self-control, you know? So when they talk about, you know, some things were left for the imagination, but now where if you're a man, you can walk out and everybody and their mama has on leggings, spandex, and you can see back in the day where a woman's curves might have been left to an imagination. Now you can go out and you can see all the curves, you can see all the prints, you can see all this and that. And I think that kind of, especially for children, for, you know, I've seen when been out at Walmart and see, you know, either the situation where the brothers are having the pants all the way down, you know, ass basically out, right? And, you know, or either the sisters that are wearing some clothes just so skin tight, you know, just booty all over the like that. You know, it comes to a place where even when you talk about porn, this is why, you know, we shouldn't have dynamics where a child is coming into the room and then a grown person is watching porn. You know, there should be some discretion somewhere, and I think, you know, because people don't know how to utilize these things and appropriate themselves, like the brother was just saying, some of the stuff should be just taken off the table completely, removed completely. But I think it's a thing to call to our attention as it relates to self-control and us as black folks, us as African people. We have been the most uncontrolled people, you know, even when we're talking about the culture that you guys are, the anti-culture in which we have now, out of all ethnic groups, we are the only ethnic group that speak of ourselves in this demeaning way, openly, publicly, right, about each other. So even when we listen to Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, we can know that these things point to a definite psychological trauma. You understand that we haven't came back from. We've never remedied ourselves from the psychological trauma that we dealt with yesterday. So these things, you know, when I'm out there saying I'm gonna kill this nigga, I'm gonna, you know, come out with a song that's dedicated to all the dead ops. When we're talking about this level of hate, this level of disdain that we have for one another, it is a one that is induced, right? And it's also a one that's actually natural, because through our slave tenure through the time that we've gone through this disastrous movement, right? We've collected all these things. So I think it's good that you guys are having a show. It's good that people are calling attention and then actually trying to work against these things.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate your call, brother.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Yes, he did. I want to add on to something the brother said, because, you know, everything I said, I wanted to just tie it back into, you know, the self-control and discipline that we should be teaching folks, you know, especially the kids. That way we don't have to resort to dipping and dabbing into these different vices, drugs, gambling, alcohol, whatever, porn, whatever vice. If people were taught the proper way to, you know, utilize self-discipline, waiting on things, having self-control, self-respect, like all these things, I don't think we're teaching, you know, in our homes or as a community. And, you know, when it comes to what the brother was saying with as far as the Black community, we know there's a lot of trauma there. We know there's a lot of self-hate. And we know who taught us how to hate ourselves, like Malcolm X say. So if we hate ourselves, of course, the people that look like us, we not go value their lives as well. And that's all a reflection in the music or the culture or anti-culture, like the brother just said. So when you change the vibration of the people, the music is going to change. You feel what I'm saying? But it can't be the other way around. You're not going to just have positive music come out and start selling when the vibration of the people is still low. First, the vibration of the people has to be raised, and then we'll see that reflection in the art. You dig what I'm saying? But, yeah, I digress. I just wanted to add on to what the brother was saying.
Hey, it's cold. 609-310. Holly, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
How are everybody doing over there?
Hey.
Doing well. Peace, Carla. How are you?
Doing good. I have a comment. We're going to start with everything falls on society, the way the society is built. You got to look at, like, for us, the liquor stores and stuff like that and drugs. Most inner cities have they may have about 100 liquor stores in the inner city versus if you go out in the suburbs or in the counties, they may have one or two. So
right there,
where opportunity lies. So you know what I'm saying? So you're going to see more people in the inner cities drinking and doing drugs because it's there. You got easy access to it. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have that if you go out in the suburbs or and stuff like that. You don't have liquor stores where people standing on the corners and stuff like that. They got a design like that, but for us to fail. And it goes back to the brother that was just talking on the phone and what you were just saying. It goes back to discipline and learn how to be disciplined and learn how to teach our kids the way to go. Because out here in society, if you listen to what they saying, man, we'll all be lost out here. We'll all be lost. And then, you know, we are human. So we want to do stuff to keep ourselves occupied and entertained. Mm-hmm. So these are the things we do. These are the things that we have in society to do. They don't got them.
Right.
A lot of people scared to go to the movie theater. You got people trying to go back to the movie theater. A lot of people ain't going to the movies and stuff no more. A lot of people ain't really going to the clubs no more like that. So what they do, we'll go to the casino because it's easier access. We'll go, you know what I mean?
Right.
We'll go grab a drink because it's easier access. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't going to, I'm going to tell you one thing, it ain't going to never be a day that it's going to not be drugs. Because you got. Remember, I was telling you last time we talked about the hierarchy. You got people. You got the pharmaceuticals. They drug dealers, but they doing it legally.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And they doing the top drugs that you know for a fact they making these drugs, and you know for a fact they're going to become very, very addictive. So what you do about that?
Right.
So you can't just blame the little poor drug dealer that's selling a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They getting it from somewhere. These people ain't coming with no poppy seeds. They getting it from the big top dog. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They bring in shipments of that stuff and dropping it in a city. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it ain't going to never, ever be a day in this world that is not going to be drugs. I'm going to tell you that now. It ain't going to never be a day it's going to be not, it's going to be a drug free. I can't see it. And I've been on this earth over 50 years, and I can't see it. And I know people older than me can't see it. You know what I mean? So it's just it's what you take, what you use with what you got. And I was always taught, it ain't what you do, it's how you do it. That's
it. How you do it.
Point blank period. It's how you do it. You know?
Yes, indeed. Yep. Appreciate it, Carla.
All right,
yes,
then.
Indeed.
I'll get to another caller.
Appreciate it. Yeah, right on. All appreciate it. Yeah, she's making some good points. You know, it's like the society, I just feel like we it's a lot of changes that need to be made, and you know, it starts at the home and whatnot, but as a society, it's so far gone, and the things that they promote, you know, this instant gratification, you can have it all here. Everybody on social media is a Don, a big boss, a big Willie, you know. And they did studies on, like, Facebook and Instagram, and they saying that, you know, it's causing depression in kids and people and, you know, all these things, how it's detrimental to the human psyche, all these social media sites, because what you're looking at is like smoke and mirrors. It's not even real. You know what I'm saying? But you look at all these images of these people having these extravagant lives, and you just see them one, you know, one small picture, one little snapshot, one little video, and it's causing people to go into depression and do these other type of things and take stupid chances or get into these vices because they don't understand or they don't have the self-respect and self-confidence to do anything else. And like the caller said, we are human. We all have emotions. Everybody have up and down, good days, bad days, you know what I'm saying? So all that mixed in a pot, it could really, you know, it could mess some people up as we see in society. You know, you got school shootings, you got this, you got that. And so it's just society as a whole, we're not promoting the right thing. And like Rigel say, we're not creating quality people and we're not making quality decisions as a group, you know what I'm saying? As a whole, people are not making those quality decisions so we can see the best version of society that, you know, that everybody will want to see. But the powers that be know what they're doing, and they like it like this. The chaos is good for the powers that be. They make money off of ignorance. You know, ignorance is a $1 billion industry, for real, for real.
Yeah. You know, so that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, because, you know, things are going to be here, but it's how our mentality is going to determine how we use it. So we have to make, you know, good decisions. You know, we have to make quality choices, because guns are here, sex is here, you know.
Right.
All these things are here. Like the caller said, yeah, drugs have been around forever. People have been using it. It's how you use them. How you use something is determined by your mentality, how you see things, your way of thinking is going to determine how you make use of something, even if something is your time, how you make use of your time. Everything is a tool. How you use the tool is going to be determined on the quality of the person. And I guess we can get to the caller. Area code 315. 767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I don't have any comment.
Hey,
so,
Carla,
y'all talking about...
Yes, indeed. Peace, Carla.
y'all talking about all kinds of stuff today. Rap music, using drugs, casinos, alcohol.
All kinds of good things, sir.
All the vices, prostitution, porn.
Right, right. Everything. Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't have a problem doing it. Anybody want to do, you want to go do it, go do it. You know,
right.
You know the ramifications of the actions that you're going to partake in, and you just got to be able to handle your consequences. The thing that
right,
I don't agree
exactly.
with, I don't agree with socialized medications or medical and the free use of drugs. So if you want to go use drugs, you need to take responsibility for the consequences, not the state. Because the state is taking stuff out of my pocket to pay for your bad choices. That's where my problem is with drug usage. You can use all the drugs you want as long as I don't got to pay for your treatment.
Right, right.
You can use all the drugs you want as long as you don't come stealing from me to get the money to buy the drugs.
Right, right, right.
But that's when that's where the problem is, because they can come steal from you and you can't protect yourself without getting yourself criminalized in the way that they have these laws set up. So you're a victim of allowing people to be free. So if I could stop a person that's trespassing against me by any means necessary, and I get left alone after I done did that, I'm fine with these people out here using drugs. If I don't have to pay for their medical expenses by my taxes going up or the medical facilities charging more because they got to pay for all these people who can't pay for their medical situations, so now they got to raise the prices on everybody that can pay. So you wonder why medical is so high, because all these people out here getting themselves sick and they can't pay for it. So somebody's got to pay for it. That's us. We can't protect ourselves from them, and we have to pay for them. That's my problem with free use of drugs. Now, if those two things weren't there, have at all the drugs you want.
Well, let me share this with you. Let me share this with you, caller, because I went to I think I might have shared this story. I went to Vancouver, Canada, right? They have a safe space for heroin addicts. Like, you drive up and down this street, it's like a maybe like one or two blocks, where you go up and down the street and all you see is zombies. You see people leaning. You see people high. But those people don't go – those people that want to do the heroin and do those hard drugs, they don't go outside the community because they have different centers, which is – it may sound crazy to some people, but they have different centers that provide them not only with the drugs, but with clean needles and things for them to do. They give them, you know, doses to where they don't OD. They monitor them and kind of keep an eye on them for the people who are in that life. And that's like a small community. So
who pays for that?
A lot of them are nonprofits. And I think it may be some government funding in there, but a lot of them are nonprofits. But the thing is, your concern was the people who are on drugs coming to, you know, trying to steal from you to buy drugs. They don't have that problem because the drugs are supplied right there in that area. And anybody's been to Vancouver know Vancouver is, you know, a rich city. You know, people make a lot of money, but they've come up with a system to contain their particular drug problem. And you can look up the crime stats in Vancouver, but I don't think it's that high.
I can tell you how the
people who are on drugs are not going around killing and trying to steal to get money for drugs because they have a system set up.
Do you know how much people of Vancouver pay in taxes?
I'm sure they pay a lot.
They pay up to 70% of their income in taxes. I'm serious. If we work and we make $100, we might get 70 of our dollars because our taxes are so high. If you're working in Vancouver and you make $100, you're probably going to get $30 to $40 because their taxes are so high. But they talk about they have the free health care, and they got they got the free drug usage. But that's because all that comes out of their taxes. So they don't get the freedom of their work like we do.
Right, but that could be the trade-off. Do you want to? Would you rather pay high taxes? Do you
want to
worry about some?
I don't.
You want to worry about some
worry
drug
about
addicts?
I don't have to
right.
worry about the drug addicts. If the legal, if the law, if the the federal gang isn't preventing me from protecting myself.
Hmm.
If the federal
gang, okay, I
got you. And if the local state gangs weren't, you know, all in their blue and brown uniforms saying, no, we got you, except for when we don't got you, which is 98% of the time, well, then, you know, I have to just be, that's like in San Francisco, where they got those drug-free zones, mm-hmm. and they got the places where you can go and rob under $1,000, and you can't do nothing about it. All the people are leaving. All the people that can leave
right,
are
right.
leaving. And it's
right.
turning their city into trash. But it's not the drug dealers, and it's not the drug users that's the problem. It's our system of laws that have gone so off the mark that has become the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with drug
gotcha,
users.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem
right.
with drug users. I have a problem with the
right.
law getting in the way of me protecting myself from those other two categories. And
gotcha.
The socialized medicine that makes me have to pay for the circumstances that these people's bad choices put them in. That's
right, right.
Yeah. So, but
I don't
stand to anybody living their life the way they want to live their life. If they want to live their life in a haze and a daze for just a
right.
few days, that's on me, because that's one less person I got to worry about out here in the world vying for what I'm trying to do.
That's right. That's right.
As long as I can put a rabid dog down, I ain't got no problem with them dogs. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
It's just the fact, again,
the problem is
our social system that allows the gangs in blue and the gangs in brown to kidnap and you know, kidnap us and throw us in cages or do us any kind of harm that they want to, just because we choose to defend ourselves from people that are unsavory.
Right, right, right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
All
right.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
yes,
thanks,
indeed.
Colin.
Appreciate it, Colin.
You know, hey.
Yeah.
Select the Minds Radio. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think.
Yeah, we ain't all got to think alike. I mean, he made some good points because.
That's an interesting view, you know.
Yeah. Because to be honest, the government does play a role, you
yeah.
know, in the whole society. So, you know, we would have to consider not only
well.
The
they
drug dealers. Yeah, they play a role as well. But I think, again, a healthy society, everybody should play a role. You dig what I'm saying? It shouldn't just be on one entity. It shouldn't just be on the people. It shouldn't just be on the government. It shouldn't just be on businesses and corporations. Everybody plays a role into having, you know, the best functioning society where we raising, you know, in Rigel words, the best quality people, period. The best quality humans, period.
Yeah,
but I think at this point we're not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Not
up
exactly.
to this point. So.
Because the thing is, whether, you know, because like the point the caller was trying to make, although great ideal, you know, we all having some great ideal thoughts and points, you know, but everything that the reason that it's important to create quality people is because we do affect one another, because we're all sharing the same space. Whether we see it that way or not, we are all sharing the same space. So what I do does affect the people in the environment around me, whether you may see it as a, you know, subtle or small, but it plays a role. We do affect others. So if you have this
right.
this relaxed community where they're like, oh, I don't care if you get high, as long as I can shoot you when you can, that still has an effect. I personally would not want to have. I wouldn't want to create. We recreate our environment. That's not an environment I would want to create. Well, shoot, if you do trip with me, I can just shoot you. You know, I don't want that type of environment. I, for one, you know, I'm not ashamed to say this. I always said and will continue to say it. I don't like violence. That would, if I can ban anything, that would be the one thing I would ban is violence. So I would not want to feel like, okay, I may have to shoot somebody because they tripping. Just because I can, I just don't want that, you know. So, and what happens, like you said, I don't mind, you know, the rabbit or the rabbit dog as long as I can shoot the rabbit dog. Okay, well, what happens if a person don't get the ups on the rabbit dog and the dog gets the ups on them? Then you got somebody that's infected with their infection. So it's like I would much rather, if we can create, we all know that. So I would much rather create a more safer environment where people just don't abuse drugs. You know, they use them to enhance the life, abuse their, where it's taken away their, you know, their health, their mental state. And you don't want it to degrade.
Right, right.
Downgrade you. You want to be able to use things to enhance your life experience, to have a quality experience.
Right.
So it's like create humans where we, you know, we think to enhance and have a positive experience, you know, and not to harm one another and not to hurt one another, you know. So I would much rather put energy into that. But like I said, the call, that's a good point, you know, and it could work that way if everybody trained that way. You know, we can all adapt to change. So, hey, if it was like that, I'll just have to learn how to use my weapon. You know, I can adapt, but that's just not what I would choose. I wouldn't want to choose that way, you know. But if it must be that way, like the caller said, I mean, we should be safe from the laws, you know, where we could – protect ourselves. I think we're supposed to be able to protect ourselves anyway, you know. But I just think that's really what it is for me, you know. I think we need to we wasted so much time trying to manipulate society when what we really need to try to do is focus on bringing up the youth and the upcoming generation to think better, to make better decisions and things. Differently
than
what we did.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a great conversation. I think, you know, everybody made some good points. But it comes down to, you know, creating that space where people don't have to abuse, like you say, abuse these things. But like you say, it should, you know, because all drugs aren't bad. It should be used to enhance the experience or, you know, to bring, be higher or create or do type of things like that, but not to abuse and not only yourself but the community. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You don't want to take away your faculties of living.
Yeah,
you know?
Then you got to take away your faculties. Then when you're not high, you're trying to you got to steal and harm other people to get high again. No, that's not how this thing should be working. You know what I'm saying? That's not how this thing should be working. But, you know, I digress.
Mufasa woke.
Coming
hey,
home.
Brother, how you doing?
Hey, you back.
Hey.
I've been.
Hey,
I was just listening to y'all.
Hey, get
I'm
around. My brother, welcome you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, brother.
I've been here. I just let y'all go. Let y'all be. Good job. I didn't have very much to say. Did a fantastic job.
Oh, we got time for one more call. What are we doing, y'all? Yeah.
You say what?
It's about time to sit down.
You
know, just don't be out there so bad. Don't be out there so bad on drugs where you got to put balls in your mouth.
Yes, indeed.
I'm at home.
But look, family, this is what? This is the last week before, you know, what they call Christmas, like our brother Mufasa started off saying. What'd he say? Down with down with Santa, up with Jesus. What? What was that?
You said it right.
I don't want to mess it up. Oh, okay. Yeah, down with Santa, up with Jesus.
Jesus.
So,
up
this
with Jesus,
is the last show,
Santa.
Right, before what they call Christmas and whatnot. So I'm going to just start it off by wishing everybody a good week. You know what I'm saying? Whether you celebrate it or not, whether you celebrate Kwanzaa or don't celebrate any other holidays at all. But, you know, I hope you have a good week. Enjoy some time with your family, with some loved ones. If you're by yourself, keep your head up. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you got family out here that do care for you or whatnot. So, yeah, I just wish everybody a good week coming up. You know, these holiday seasons come around, and some people, I know a lot of people may go through depression if things ain't all the way right. But, you know, just keep your head up. It's all good. We here. You know, the Most High got your back, and you just got to believe. Don't lose that faith, and, you know, things will work out like they always do. You know, things will work out like they always do. So I just had to share that. Whoever needs
to
hear that,
whatever you
share that.
Yeah. Yeah, happy whatever you celebrate. I extend it.
Yeah,
now, I will say this. To everyone out there who do celebrate Christmas, me personally, I don't. But if you do celebrate Christmas, I'm not knocking you. All I ask is that, hey, since you celebrate Christmas, send me a gift. If you're in the gift giving person, hey, I will still accept your gift. Just don't look for a gift from me. But if you want to give presents, Brother Mufasa will accept them. So you can show me how you celebrate by giving gifts. So send me one too. And I will accept it.
Yes, indeed. You heard that, child?
Right. Send him your cash.
Give me a gift. Hook me up.
Send him your cash.
Right.
Cash at me something. Cash at me.
Or a little something on the cash app. A little something. You feel me?
Yeah. Right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I guess you want to wrap us up. This was Collective Minds. Good show, good build. You know, I think we had some good conversations, and you know, give people something to think about this coming week and how we move forward, and you know, be responsible for self. You know, as man know thyself, man woman know thyself. End of story. If you do that, I think we all would make better decisions.
Yeah. So the word of the day is time. Use your time wisely. Use time wisely. Time. Time is so important. Mm-hmm. How we use our time while we in our physical body. And just
That's
make
right.
sure that you use it wisely. No regrets. I'd like to thank everybody for calling in with us, tuning in with us today. It was a great show. Everybody made some great points. We truly appreciate you. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas, please send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. You can see us next week and each and every Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Peace.
Stand on your square. We on the earth. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers. Word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.